Hi everyone, how's it going? I'm Michael Bisping and you're listening to the Mirror TKO podcast.
Live from the O2 Arena in London, England.
Man! Relentless once again. Overwhelming! Michael Bisping!
That left is finding a home and again and again and again.
Oh, you heard him.
He is so explosive.
Yoshihiro Akiyama!
Scrapper, he's a brawler.
Good left hook.
He is down.
That's it.
What a fight.
Wow. Dan Hardy.
Oh, he's
unbelievable. Pounding away.
Carlos Condit has done it. Hathaway is such a powerful dude.
Look at this.
Boom. Hathaway trying to finish his fight.
Hathaway.
Back and forth they battle. And he finishes the fight.
The Ultimate Fighting Championship presents UFC 120, Bisping versus Akiyama, Saturday, October 16th.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mirror TKO podcast from mirror.co.uk. I'm Simon Head. Joining me, as always, is Mr. Dan Ferdinand.
Howdy.
And we had a good week this week because we went into central London. They let us out of Mirror Towers for the afternoon, which was nice. And we interviewed the three stars of the upcoming UFC event in London, UFC 120. John the Hitman Hathaway from Brighton, the up-and-coming welterweight star. Dan the Outlaw Hardy, Nottingham-based kickboxer with an extensive record collection.
Yes.
And a very cool pair of trainers, as you'll find out.
Yeah.
And Michael the Count Bisping, who is the subject of the first show. Michael takes on Yoshihiro Sexyama Akiyama in the main event at UFC 120, and what's going to be an absolutely brilliant stand-up war, Dan. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you're about to listen to what Michael Bisping thinks about the fight, but a fantastic guy. It's going to be an absolute barnstorm of a fight.
Yeah.
Absolute barnstorm, and he's up for it massively.
And Akiyama is just the tip of the iceberg for him. We talked to him about all sorts, including some interesting stuff he had to say about a certain Mr. Chael Sonnen. So we'll find out a little bit more about that. But without further ado, here's the man himself, Michael the Count Bisping.
Right, we're here with UFC middleweight Michael Bisping, just ahead of UFC 120, where you're going to be headlining against Yoshihiro Akiyama. Tell us a bit about the fight, your opponent, and your preparations for the fight.
Well, obviously, the fight's October 16th, UFC 120, a main event at the O2 Arena. So for me, it's a very special occasion. You know, my last fight was in Vegas. Before that was Sydney. Two fantastic venues, but for me, fighting in England is when it's more special, especially in London at the O2 Arena, sold out. You know, it's very, very exciting. It really is the stuff of childhood dreams, you know. My opponent, Yoshihiro Akiyama, is a very, very exciting fighter, a tough opponent. He's lost one fight in the last 5 years, so I think that says a lot about him. The guy's a superstar in Japan. He's a model, he's a singer, an actor, but he's best known for his fighting. He's had two fights in the UFC so far. Before that, he used to fight in an organisation called Pride, which is basically like the Japanese version of the UFC. Since he's come to the UFC, he's had two fights. Both fights have been Fight of the Night, one of them candidate for Fight of the Year. So he's a very, very excited fighter, got a lot of knockouts on his record. Very aggressive, and he's coming to win, as am I. I'm looking for the knockout. I want to get a big win in front of my home crowd. So it's going to be a great fight. It's going to be a very exciting fight. I'm doing everything in my power to win the fight. I want to say thanks to all my coaches, because now I'm truly feeling, you know, like a world champion, and that I've got what it takes to get the belt. You know, I think hopefully I'm going to go out there, get a good performance. I'm looking to knock him out, hopefully get a knockout in front of my home crowd, one more good fight, and in this time next year I'll be world champion. That's the plan.
That'd be fantastic. And this is the second time you've headlined UFC in the UK.
Yep.
What extra pressure does that bring on you as a fighter building up to the big event?
Well, obviously, you know, I want the event to be a big success, you know, and the main, if I'm the main event fighter, you know, I'm the main event, you know, that's what's selling the card. So I take that responsibility very seriously. I want to sell the fight. I want to do as much promotions as I can.
Yeah.
I want it to be a success. I want it to be a success from the fans' perspective. I want them to come and enjoy the fight and you know, get what they paid for. And I want it to be a success from the UFC's perspective. I want them to see that it was a good business move making me the main event.
Yeah.
So not only have I got to train hard and ensure that I win the fight and put an exciting fight on and entertain everybody, I want to make sure that I do all the promotional work, sell the fight, and do what I can to make it a big success.
Great. And obviously you've got Akiyama, as you say, he's a very, very good fighter. He's got loads of experience. He's fought in K1. Do you see this being a stand-up fight? Obviously he's got the judo black belt.
Yeah.
But do you see this fight predominantly being on the feet?
Yeah, I think predominantly the fight will be on the feet. He's very, very good on the feet. He's good on the ground as well. As you mentioned, he's very good at judo. I think he won a medal at the Olympics in judo, so his judo is going to be ridiculous. But I think he does favour the stand-up. You know, he's knocked out a lot of opponents. He's got very good stand-up. He likes to mix it up well. He throws lots of good kicks, punches. You know, he's a very well-rounded fighter. That said, you know, I think I'm the better fighter. Obviously, I'm going to say that, but I think I'm bigger, faster, stronger, and I think generally just all round the better fighter. And I think whilst he ain't going to be no pushover, far from it, he's a very tough fighter. I feel like it's going to be a good win for me.
Leading up, it's probably a few months back, just before this fight was made, there was talk over whether it was going to be Akiyama or whether it was going to be Vitor Belfort was mentioned as well. Vitor obviously is now going to be fighting Anderson Silva for the title.
Sure.
So you know from that, and obviously from your performances in the past, you're in the mix at 185 for a title shot. You've got Akami, you've got Marquardt, Sonnen's obviously a little bit.
Yep.
You know, there's issues there. Let's just quickly mention Sonnen. There's been a little bit of verbals between the two of you.
That's right.
MMA Live, what did he say? He said if
Michael, he's gonna bury me.
Bury you where you stand.
Correct.
And obviously, since then, he's had a bit of an issue.
Yes.
What's your take on this? What's your take on Chael Sonnen and the situation he's in? And is that a fight that you'd like to take at some point down the line after he's served any suspension he's got?
Well, first off, you know, I'm a fan of Chael Sonnen. I think that he's an exciting fighter. His last few fights, he's looked fantastic. The fight against Anderson Silva was incredible, you know. He's not, I wouldn't say he's a fan of mine, by some of his comments, but that's fine. I think he sells the fight great. You know, I think he's a great businessman. He's fantastic at selling a fight. I must admit, I piss myself laughing at some of his comments, and his he backs it up as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, he's an exciting fighter. I'd love to fight him, though. Absolutely love to fight him. Obviously, he's said a few things about me. I've responded back and forth. Nothing too nasty, mind you, but he did make one comment, as you said, on MMA Live, which I think overstepped the mark a little bit.
Yeah.
He basically threatened to attack me wherever that may be. You know what I mean? Exactly. I'm just minding my own business, queuing up for a sandwich, and Chael Sonnen's going to try and bury me. So I thought that was a little bit over the top. Other than that, I've not really taken issue with anything.
Yeah.
But I'd love to fight him. I want to fight the best guys out there. As you touched on before, you know, the middleweight division, lots of good guys, Marquardt, Akami, you know, a lot of fantastic fights, lots of good challenges for me.
Mm.
But I feel now that I'm coming into my prime as a mixed martial artist and as a fighter and as an athlete. You know, you're 31, I think is a good age now. I feel stronger and better technically than I ever have been.
And
I feel now that I'm ready. But I think maybe in the past it was a little too soon for some of the bigger names. But now I truly feel I'm ready and I look forward to the challenges.
Great. And this fight is probably going to be watched by a lot of people who may be watching MMA and maybe the UFC for the first time.
Yeah.
They'll be looking at you guys coming in. They'll be looking at things like your fight record. And they may be more familiar with boxing, where there's a lot more of a stress on not losing at all. If you've not got zero on your record or if you've just lost, you're almost out of the picture.
Yeah.
That's quite different in MMA. Can you explain why that is for us?
Yeah, well first and foremost, there's so many more ways to win and lose a fight, you know, and you know, I mean, look, you can punch, kick, knee, elbow, take them down, win fights by submission. You know, the list goes on. No, maybe it doesn't. Maybe that was all of them. but yeah, there's much more ways to win and lose a fight, and I think that makes it more exciting. But it also makes it more hazardous. You know, you lose focus for 1 second, and you know, someone's got you in a choke or something like that, and you know, or because the gloves are a lot smaller, you know, sometimes one good shot is all it needs. I know from experience, you know, lose your focus for a minute, you get caught on the chain with those 4 ounce gloves, you know, they're very unforgiving. So yeah, I mean, also in the UFC, the best guys are fighting the best guys all the time. You know, I'm not disrespecting boxing or certain boxers, but if you're fighting the best guys in the world, you shouldn't really be able to go 40-0. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
unless, you know, maybe you can. I'm not saying that's impossible, you know. There's some tremendous athletes out there. But if you're fighting the best guys all the time, which in the UFC you do,
you can always have one bad night.
Yeah.
It's 40.
Like I'd like to have a bad night, you know what I mean? I think you're allowed a bad night now and again. You know, I've had 3 bad nights. but that's been it. Obviously, try and keep them to a minimum. I want to go on a good winning streak now. I felt I've learned from experience. Yeah, I mean, if you keep losing fights in the UFC, you're gone. You're not going to be fighting in the UFC for very long. So let's not get it mixed up that you can lose fights in the UFC and still have a job. That's not the case. You keep losing, you're gone. Simple as that. But you can, you know, as you said, you can afford a bad night now and again, and I think fans are a little bit more forgiving than what they are in boxing.
What's it like for your friends and family? Because as we alluded to, you're at that level now where you're basically one below the champion. Your next couple of fights are definitely that way.
Yeah.
Because your friends and family know you from kind of being a little boy running around Manchester. What is that like for them? Obviously, your international style as such.
You know what I mean. I can sit here. I suppose to a certain extent that is the case. You know, and it's strange. You know, it still feels strange to me. I don't sit here. It just doesn't sit comfortably with me to say, oh, fans. You know, it just doesn't feel right. I'm just a lad from Clitheroe outside Manchester. You know what I mean? I'm just a very, very average lad. So I don't like saying, oh, my fans. Some people seem at ease saying that. It just doesn't feel right to me. I don't know. It's weird. You know, I mean, they see me on TV. I suppose over time they've got used to it. But I'm still very, very much the same person. You know, I haven't changed one little bit. All right. You know, I can afford to pay my bills these days, and I drive a bit of a nicer car, or whatever. But other than that, I'm pretty much still the same guy. They all get very nervous, all my friends and family, when I fight. You know, especially my girlfriend. You know, she's terrified. You know, she has to put up with me for 10 weeks before I fight, so she knows how much hard work and effort goes into it. But yeah, you know, I mean, ultimately, they're very supportive and very happy for me.
What do you do when you're not fighting or not training? Obviously, your training will tick over, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
You taper it up and down depending on when the fights are. What do you do to relax outside of that?
Well, I've got 3 children. And
So you don't relax?
Well, not exactly, yeah. I've got a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-month-old.
Yeah.
And,
so you don't sleep either?
Well, not at the moment. Well, to be honest, I kind of sleep through them. I think with all the training, I just, once I fall asleep, I'm dead. But yeah. It's tough on the kids when I'm training for a fight because they don't get much of a look in. So after a fight, I just try and catch up with spending quality time with with the kids, and just a pretty boring lifestyle, really. Nothing too crazy. And, you know, I go out with the boys now and again, have a few beers, nothing too crazy. But yeah, quality time with the kids, really. You know, I'm this is why I do it. You know, it sounds like a cliche, but I do it for my kids and to provide a better lifestyle for myself and my family. And yeah.
What about in the run up to a fight? My personal theory is, if I was in a sport like yourself, especially the last few days, but that last week, I'd have to be left alone by people that love me, because I feel like I have to build myself into that animal that could be able to perform on the Saturday night. Are you like that, or are you very, very calm?
Well, no, I wouldn't say I'm calm. You know, I can, you know.
You're boisterous anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm boisterous anyway, but I can be a bit of an asshole to be around, to be honest. I try not to be, but, and I don't realise I am being. But, you know, like, for example, I've got a friend from America who comes. He's a very good friend of mine, Damien. He flies out to every fight. And the last couple, and this is what he's doing from now on, he's just getting there the day of the weigh-in, because he doesn't really want to be around me, because, you know, I'm cutting weight for one. The nerves are building up. I'm not trying to consciously make myself into an animal, as you said, or anything like that. But obviously it's a pressure cooker, you know, situation. And little things start to get to me, you know. So I'm okay. I generally do handle it pretty well, but little things do bug me, and I can lash out a little bit, you know.
Could be a different story if we asked your girlfriend or the kids.
Absolutely. Oh, I think so. Yeah. Oh, she doesn't want to come anywhere near me before I fight, you know. So
tell us about the weight cut, because obviously you've started as a light heavy, you've now moved down to middleweight, and it seems to be. It doesn't happen. It didn't seem to happen much with Japanese fighters. They tend to fight at more their natural weight.
Sure.
Whereas, especially with the American side of it, and obviously the Brits, they like to trim down to fight so they can be as strong as possible at the weight. Tell us about the weight cut. What do you physically have to do, and how do you actually have to go about that? Because it's a real science involved to that.
Yeah, absolutely. First off, just to mention, I used to fight at light heavyweight, because as you mentioned, in England, people really didn't cut weight too much, you know. And everybody said that we're a little bit more experienced in mixed martial arts. When I first started in the UK, they said, you really should fight at middleweight. And I said, well, I'm happy fighting at light heavyweight. It's my natural weight, etc. I continued to do that in the UFC until after I fought Rashad Evans. And because in the UFC, as you mentioned, they've got a deep history in wrestling in America, and they cut weight from an early age, and they get used to doing it. You know, some of the guys, they're doing it from being kids. They're cutting 20 pounds, you know, and they're going into the fight the next day a lot bigger, a lot stronger, fully hydrated, and it doesn't affect them because they know how to do it. When I fought Rashad Evans, it was main event in New Jersey, And whilst he was in the sauna and killing himself to get the weight off, and he probably cut 15, 20 pounds, I don't know what he did, I was sat in a Chinese restaurant that day having noodles and drinking 7-Up. Do you know what I mean? And after I lost it, it was a close fight, but after I lost the fight, I kind of thought, well, what can I do to, you know? And I thought, well, I'm not making all the sacrifices that I need to make, obviously. So that was the first thing. I dropped down to middleweight, which I believe is more of a natural weight class. In terms of what we have to do, obviously, 8 weeks leading up to it, the diet is very, very strict. Yeah. I'm going out of my mind right now.
That food over there is not
good for you. Yeah, no, it's not good for me whatsoever. Yeah, I did sneak a little tiny sandwich in. I didn't eat all of it. I took a couple of bites. I'm starving. I've basically been hungry for the last 8 weeks. But in terms of, obviously, very little carbohydrate, lots of protein, lots of fruit and vegetables. Nothing too crazily scientific. It's just good food, natural foods, nothing processed.
Yeah.
5 or 6 small meals a day. Lots of supplementation, because obviously you're not getting all the necessary dietary requirements. So lots of multivitamins and protein shakes, things like that. The week of the fight, what we do is we load up with lots of water. We drink about 16 litres of water a day, and it flushes all your system out. Yeah, it's a lot.
You try and go to the loo.
It's ridiculous. You go to the toilet about 15 times a day. You wake up constantly throughout the night going to the toilet. And what you're doing, you're flushing out all your body of all toxins and salts and all things like that. You clear your intestine, basically, because you can carry a few pounds in that. No carbohydrates, things like that. For every gram of carbohydrate you eat, your body absorbs 4 grams of water. So obviously you've got to cut out all carbohydrate. And then the day before the weigh-in, you stop drinking the water, so your body continues to pass the water that you've been taking on. So you pass a little bit extra, as I said, because you've flushed out all the salts and things like that, your body doesn't hang on to the water. The night before I go to bed, the night before the weigh-in, I put the sweatsuit on, I have about a 45 minute run, probably do about 3 or 4 pounds like that. Hopefully lose 1.5 pounds in the sleep, so that's probably about 5.5 pounds. I've probably cleared out through my intestines and the water, so 2 or 3 pounds leading up to that, so that's probably about 10 pounds. In the morning, the sweatsuit on again, another run, hopefully about another 2 or 3 pounds. And then if anything, there might be 1 or 2 left to do in the sauna. Sounds simple, but it's torture. It's not nice. No.
That doesn't sound simple.
It's horrible, believe me. You feel like dying. Last night, I was going for a run, and I was running really hard, and I hadn't had much carbohydrate, and I was feeling a bit dizzy and whatever, and I thought, oh God, yeah. It reminded me of when you're cutting weight, and I thought, yeah, I need to just be careful on the food the next few weeks, because every pound you can not put on through diet it helps you more then, you know. But as long as you rehydrate properly and you have advice and you know what to do, this is where a nutritionist comes in handy. The next day it shouldn't affect it if you rehydrate and eat properly.
What's the that's it's a bit mad, but what's the difference when you've had the weigh-in, you've made weight, what's next? Is it some food? Is it water?
Yeah, well, what I drink is, it's a drink you get from America, it's called Pedialyte. Basically they give it to I think they give it to children with like liver problems, jaundice, things like that. It's basically full of salts and minerals and stuff like that. That's the first thing I drink, lots of water, and then lots of small meals. You don't eat too much too fast, but constantly drinking water, of juices, things like that, and lots of small meals, as I said, lots of carbohydrate. Got to get the carbs back in you, get the liquid back in you, get the fuel back in you, and lots of rest.
Cool. Yeah. Right, I've got to ask you one more question, just because I think you're going to be dragged off in a minute. Just quickly to wrap up, obviously you're going to win this fight
on
October the 16th. What do you want next? After Akiyama, what do you want next?
Well, as I said before, you know, it sounds like a bold statement, and I don't want to come across as arrogant or cocky or anything like that, but I do believe now that I'm coming into my prime. All my coaches can see it, my managers can see it, my training partners can see it, I can see it, I can feel it. I've changed a few things, I've got some new coaches. I'm still with some of my original coaches, but I've brought on some extra coaches, like a strength and conditioning coach, things like that. And I feel like now's my time. I want to beat Akiyama. Well, I'm going to beat Akiyama, and I want to make a run for the title. I want the UFC to give me a title shot. I think one more good opponent, Nate Marquardt, Chael Sonnen, whoever it is, then that's the guy I've got to beat.
And for a newbie fan, a first-time fan who might be tuning in to watch it, because normally, obviously, UFC is in America. It's on at 3 in the morning. This is going to be prime time. ESPN. What can I expect if you were selling this fight to someone who's out on the street, heard about the UFC, they've seen the billboard posters, and they say, what should I expect from this event?
I would say if you're a fan of fighting, fan of combat sports, or just a fan of sports in general and want to see something new, watch this. You won't be disappointed. You're going to see some of the most evenly matched, exciting fights you're ever likely to see. You're going to see unparalleled production values, fantastic commentating, and the best athletes in the world, fighting the best athletes in the world. And yeah, it's one hell of a show.
The Ultimate Fighting Championship returns to London Saturday, October 16th, as three British warriors take on the world's best. First, Brighton welterweight John Hitman Hathaway looks to continue his unbeaten run. And top five welterweight Dan the Outlaw Hardy returns to action. Plus, Michael the Count Bisping collides with Japanese judo master Yoshihiro Akiyama in the explosive main event. The UFC, October 16th. Tickets on sale now at the O2 Arena box office and Ticketmaster.co.uk. We'll be right back.